The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Right. That's
good.
It.
We are hearing you loud and clear.
All right. Come Faizabad.
You're in Faizabad this morning.
I come to Faizabad every morning at 6:45 where my workplace is, my housing development. I'm doing a housing development for the last 10 years.
Interesting. All right, yeah. I'm happy to hear that, man. I'm happy to hear that. Welcome to the program this morning as we have a little brief conversation with you as it relates to the political climate that is at hand. And I want to get your thoughts. We are in the thick of an election year. The air is thick. It's out there. You know, from your years in office to now, what changes would you have seen happening when you were on the campaign trail years ago as to what you were seeing happening on the trail now, especially given the party that you would have represented back then?
Well, I think that, you know, there's too much irrelevancies in the political campaigning, too much irrelevancies. If I may take the opportunity to say so, Davey, one of the things I try to avoid on the political platform and in the parliament is unnecessary piquing, unnecessary throwing words at people across the floor. And I tried to stick to the issues. And I felt that in that way, I got across my message much better. This is why, you know, I have a personal opinion, a personal view about, you know, the manner in which people are degraded on platforms and what have you. I don't think that's necessary. I think it takes away from the messaging. I think, you know, the role of a politician, and especially an election, is to really educate and inform people and win their vote to solve the problems and deal with the issues in the country. And I think that is what is missing right now in the debate. I think that we are focusing on a lot of things that are really peripheral issues to what are the real problems in the country.
And I thank you very much for your thoughts. I would put you on pause for a brief moment, about a minute or two, as I take a commercial break. It's 7:30. Those bills got to be paid. We'll be back with more. Stick and stay.
Say goodbye to those unwanted surprises with Always Pads for your everyday comfort. With our rapid dry technology and our 100% leak guard protection system, we give you all day, all night peace of mind. You can always rely on Always Maxi and Ultra Thin Pads. Three times the protection. In honor of International Women's Day, Freedom 106.5 FM and Guardian Media proudly present About Her, a month-long campaign. Watch, read, and listen. Come celebrate with us as we focus on strength, wellness, and driving change. Our exceptional all-female team of health and wellness experts, motivational speakers, and professionals will inspire, educate, and celebrate women at a location near you. About Her is presented by Freedom 106.5 FM and Guardian Media. Sponsored in part by Jamaican Mountain Peak Coffee, Always, Panadol, and Jameson. Supported by Gulf City Mall, Eastgate Mall, Long Circular Mall, and C3 Center.
Defend your wellness on the road with Jameson Carnival Defenders. Four key supplements to fuel your body with the support it needs for overall wellness. Zinc lozenges with a unique combination of immunity boosters, vitamin B12 for energy, power for men for increased testosterone and performance levels, Jameson Hair, Skin and Nails, biotin supplement in promoting thicker hair with healthier skin and nails. Own the road this carnival with Jameson, here for your health.
Papa Green, you hear about the doubles man using solar energy? The man cooking doubles fresh on the spot and has a solar powered fan to blow in smoke. It's real cool.
No, I don't know about him, Dolly. So, is he charging more for his solar doubles or what?
Nah, I doubt that. Solar is a money saver and not to mention a planet saver too.
Good. Once the doubles hot, the pepper hot, the price not hot, I cool.
Solar power to the people.
A project of the European Union-funded Global Climate Change Alliance, United Nations Development Programme, and the Ministry of Planning and Development.
The Elections and Boundaries Commission wishes to inform all qualified persons who are not registered or are in doubt about their registration status that the electoral registration for the upcoming parliamentary elections has begun. There are 5 days left to get your name on the revised list of electors. The final day for electoral registration is Friday, 28th March 2025. Check your registration status on the EBC's website at www.ebctt.com or visit your registration area office to ensure your correct name and address are on the preliminary list of electors. To vote is your right, but you must be registered. For further information, please call the EBC hotline at 785-8206 or 785-8211. A message from the Elections and Boundaries Commission, your partners in democracy.
Engage with Davey on the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Once again, welcome back to the Morning Rumble here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Now, there was a media release about the Council for Responsible Political Behavior starts monitoring of the 2025 election campaign. Now, this council that has been formed, what are your thoughts on this council? You mentioned a few moments ago about how you handled matters in the parliament, dealing with what is on the agenda rather than attacking persons' personal character. Now that this council, has this council ever existed before, in your best knowledge?
Well, yeah, the council functioned in the last elections, too, as far as I remember. No, I think the council is a good idea. I think it's something worthwhile. I think that something is necessary in the politics. It has no legal status, of course, and all it's trying to do is create some moral foundations and to have people behave in a manner that is, of a higher level with more integrity and what have you. I think part of the subtle thing about the council is that it's true that trying to get people to deal with the issues in the country rather than personalities, although somewhere along the line, personalities will have to enter the fray. For example, Two things come into mind immediately. One, the appointment of Mrs. Camille Robinson-Regis as Attorney General without a practicing certificate. And secondly, the whole incident of bullying, whether it's 33 years ago or 4 years ago, what have you. Whether it's about Mrs. Bisessa and claims about her. All of these things will come in because you're talking about leadership and you're talking about responsible leadership for the future of the country, so that somewhere along the line you will have to examine the character of people on the platform. But I think there are very decent ways to do that also. And I think if people, for example, were to subject themselves to more in-depth interviewing by the media and debates in the country, I am one for national debates in the country, I think that we will go much deeper into developing a sense of what kind of leader is best able to carry forward the country at this point in time. Because the country is in a bad state. Don't mind me saying that as a politician. The country is in a very bad state, very, very bad state. There is hopelessness in the country. But at the same time, what I am fearful about is also the apathy of the population in the midst of that hopelessness. People are just, I like to use the term silent spectators to their plight, an uncommon plight, and I'm very worried about that. Very, very worried about that.
The thing about it is, when you look at persons calling people Oreo, and this recent debacle with the statements on the Rawan, persons felt a bit peeved about it.
Worse than that, I think, was Mr. Stuart Young's statement in Parliament about Kamala Prasad Bisessa.
But then we might argue that, right? But this is that statement.
No, Devi, it's not a matter of argue that. That happened, and that was nasty. That was bad, and no more amount of apology. I think the Speaker allowed him to get away, and I think that things were done in a favour to bring it to a quick halt. But in another society, in another place, that things like that, where you desecrate a person's personality to that extent, especially women, and then you come and you claim that you have this very great love for women and women's rights and so on. I think that, Davey, let's not sidestep that real issue.
But the thing about it for me, I'm looking at statements being made in a political platform before an audience, as opposed to what was referred to as a hot mic incident. It was said in Parliament, he didn't go out on a platform to try to pass his judgment or his pikong against her. It was said thinking the mic was off and it was just them in the room talking. However, as opposed to people taking a political platform before an audience. I'm just asking you.
You are making a lame excuse. Move on. Hot mic or no hot mic? It is a statement that was made and it came out in the public.
While I agree it should not have been made and come out to the public, I think we are making, at the end of the day, I look at it in two different aspects. You purposefully going on a platform and calling somebody, making racist or using spiritual remarks against another person on a platform in a campaign, as opposed to you in a private room or in a particular area and somebody happened to tape you and it come out. I don't know, it's night and day for me. But as I go down, you mentioned that this council that has been formed and has been operative for years now, they have no legal standing. So then what are they really there to do? If something is moving against the ethics of the code of conduct, what sort of redress can happen? How can they act?
There's not going to be any legal redress. What they are hoping to do is to sway public opinion by ruling whatever you want to put that in inverted commas, by ruling on how the parties behave, and hope that the public will take that into consideration in terms of how they cast their vote eventually.
So basically, is an advertising agency then? You dare to make a pronouncement on something, because if there is no real recourse,
I think that an organization that has the right people heading it, people of integrity and people who in the eyes of the public can be trusted, I think such an organization can have a great moral influence upon the opinions of people.
Recently, a lot of persons have
The Carter Center, for example.
The what center?
The Carter Center in the United States.
Oh, noted. Recently, a lot of persons have been removing themselves and distancing themselves from the United National Congress. Could this be attributed, based on your humble and respected opinion, to the political behavior they see in outward and the alliances that the party is now forming?
Devi, to be truthful to you, I don't think that all of these resignations are going to have any great impact upon the outcome of the elections. At every election that I have been involved in, and I've been involved in elections since 1966 with the DLP. That's quite a long time ago when my uncle fought elections as the Member of Parliament for Superior, which he was. I have seen this, where people don't get what they want, they don't get their seat, they don't get X, they don't get Y, they don't get some money in their pocket. They fall out on the margins. And I'm seeing that happening at this point in time. So I'm not worried about that. At this point in time, it's going to be a close fight, in my view. I agree with Dr. Hamid Ghani in that regard. It's going to be a close fight, and it's going to sway one way or the other within about 3 or 4 seats. I think that is what's going to happen. But I don't think that the smaller parties are going to have the impact that they hope that they're going to have, and so on. Like how, you know, the COP had an impact, or how the ONR, of which I was a part in 1981, I was the deputy political leader with Carl Hudson Phillips, 91,000 votes and no seats, but, you know, we had an impact.
I often wonder about that type of impact. When you say we have an impact, I would like you to briefly elaborate on what that impact does.
Well, because of the three-way fight, the PNM were able to get more seats and slip by. But I think that in the 1981, when I got involved with the ONR, I could have been involved with the ULF, whatever, but I thought that there was something more important in this society that was necessary, which was to get a movement for change. And I think one of the things that the ONR succeeded in doing in 1981 was in fact to let people know that you can change a government, and it's not wrong to go and try to vote differently or stick to the issues or have a more decent level of politics. I lost my seat in Urpooch, but it was very interesting that when you fought against the ULF in a seat like Urpooch, you'll get 500 votes or maybe 1,200 votes. I got 5,500 votes on two occasions, which showed that, you know, that people were thinking, you know, in a seat like that, which is a seat now held by Dave Tancombe.
What do you think will be the game changers for both the UNC and the PNM in this upcoming general election? What do you think that, if this is done, would be a game changer for both political parties? We start off with the UNC. What do you think would be a game changer?
What do you mean, a game changer?
Based on the fact that we are seeing this rhetoric happening with the political climate and how we feel, we're talking about things that, in my opinion, does not stand up really against the nationalistic issues that we are facing with some communities not getting water. We're talking about an economy that is, you know. So what do you think that will be game changers, that if this is done, in your respected opinion, you're outside looking in, if they do this can take it to maybe one of the marginal seats in the constituencies? Yeah.
Well, Davey, one of the first things that I find is that people are not trusting the parties. The level of trust has broken down. Mistrust is very high. People's expectations that they're going to get anything done by the parties by voting for them, at this point in time, walking the streets, talking to people, those expectations are very, very low. And I think that is contributing to the apathy of the population in terms of wanting to vote. Is my vote going to worth anything? But at the same time, people must think that, you know, we have to probably get more aggressive as a voter and as a population. Before the election as well as after election. We have a couple of days, maybe a good month, to demand of the political parties what it is we want to see change in the country. I think there are four or five key things that we need to deal with. A good democracy, a good country is built on certain fundamental pillars. For example, is built on jobs and people being have sustainable jobs. Not like, no, everything is on contract and you're not sure what's happening and you go to a bank and because you have a contract, you can't get a mortgage loan for 30 years or what have you. Then the healthcare in the society, the healthcare. I mean, it's a joke that you were hoping a practical hospital, a practical airport, and then you go and Dr. Tilak Singh speaks about it and you curtail his freedom of speech by taking a decision to send the man on administrative leave, Dayal Singh says. But the minister would have had some kind of hand in causing the WRHA to send the man on administrative leave. Although the minister came back and said, you know, he had no hand. That it doesn't work like that in the politics. Then the third thing is shelter for people. Shelter for people. That's a big issue in this country. And the fourth thing is the education system. The education system that is not producing people for the future world. And if you don't deal with those things, you have problems. The biggest one in my mind is freedom of movement and security. I wouldn't say freedom of speech, and to the extent I would have talked about that 10 years ago, because I think social media and a station like yours, Freedom, you know, for which I compliment you,
Thank you.
Has allowed the voice of people to really come out in the open, even if they're anonymous voices or what have you. But social media and talk radio has done a lot to foster a greater level of freedom of expression. I also am very thrilled with the quality now and forthrightness of some of the editorials in the Trinidad Guardian, especially over the last couple of weeks. You know, there has been a change in terms of what's happening. I'm looking at the more in-depth reporting of your reporters on issues, especially on your Sunday papers. And I'm saying to myself, you know, we are getting some braver journalism in the country, and that is good. So that's why, you know, I feel a little less fearful for freedom of speech now. I also look at, you know, how you guys are challenging the politicians at press conferences and so on. All that is very good, Davey. All that is very good.
I thank you for that. Now, let's look a little bit very quickly on the, as we continue with the behavior and the ethics of politicians in this campaign, the alliance being formed between the PEP and the UNC. Mm-hmm. A lot of controversy around that because he would have said certain things against the honorable opposition leader. However, they are now in cahoots. Maybe apologies went down. We talked about Steo Chung a few moments ago, unacceptable behavior.
The danger of that is, Davey, can people hold on to those positions that they are taking? Or is it just that they are taking a convenient position for politics? You know, in politics, you have a lot of people just use people, abuse the people afterwards, and discard them. That is part of the politics. And one of the things is, how are you going to sustain that relationship if you win an election? That is the challenge, and that's going to be a tremendous leadership challenge. especially when you deal with strong characters like Philip Alexander or Caesar from the OWTU and so on. These are very strong-minded people. And Mrs. Bisesa, I think she has a very good chance to win this election. I think so, because of the hopelessness in the population. It's very possible the population is just going to vote against the PNM rather than vote for the UNC, but it could be a vote against the, a PNM that comes out very strongly. Because you're beginning to get rumblings like that on the ground. I'm talking about South. I'm not talking about North right now. I'm talking about South and Central, where I am. So I think the UNC has a very, very good chance of winning the elections, which I didn't see 6 months ago, like I'm seeing now. But I think that the challenge will be, having won, you know, what are the rules for governance between the parties that are coming into this alliance that's going to cause it to sustain?
Why I asked you that question is because of the fact that we talked about the hot mic incident and things that Philip Alexander would have said, and yet still we upset about the hot mic. We can't accept the apology just like that, but we could just bridge a fence, put a gap out there, close the gaps and close ranks and bring in these political entities. Is it that the UNC feels that they cannot win this general election on their own, that they must have a coalition of parties to come together? That's the consensus I'm getting out there.
Well, that's a question that best have to be put to the leadership of the UNC. The UNC has had the capacity to win an election on its own before. It did so under Mr. Pandey. As a coalition, it came together with the People's Partnership and won an election. But I think that the more you have a one-to-one fight or two-way fight in the country, it's going to be better to displace the PNM than if you have the smattering of votes like happened with Mr. Ramesh Lawrence Mirage when 300 votes made the difference in Tanapuna seat, or 273 votes or something like this. So I think that, you know, people have that in their mind, that these small smattering number of votes can in fact create havoc in the final result.
Because in the last general election in 2020, we had a 823 votes separated with the People's National Movement and United National Congress. And that was between Aloy Hunt and Terence Dialsing.
Yeah, and then you had 1,000 and something in the Chaguanas East seat with Mohib and somebody else there, and then Minister of Agriculture.
Do you think Kamala Prasad Bisesa would have missed an opportunity to align herself with Gary Griffith's party in strengthening the coalition against the government of the day?
I think, you know, Gary Griffith is a very good person. He has many, many different kinds of skills. But to me, sometimes Gary is a little bit impetuous, and he has to learn how to control that. And he's another very strong character, and maybe Mrs. Bisesa made her own assessment of whether she can work with him in the future. But I have a lot of respect for Mr. Gary Griffith's ability. He's quite a quick thinker, and he's action-oriented.
Mr. Ramachan, I want to say thank you very much. I have to leave it here at this moment, as my time is upon me at this moment. I want to thank you very much for chatting with us here on Freedom, and I encourage you to not be a stranger, and we'll talk as the political climate thickens, as the election draws near.
Devi, I ran the Panchayat program with Shamoon Mohammed for 15 years, you know.
I know that. Listen, it was an honor. When I talked to you this morning and I saw it, it was an honor. I know that. I know I am filling some very big shoes here, but I am holding on at the moment. I'm holding on as the interim.
You wouldn't believe this, sir. I was unceremoniously asked to leave in 2010 when I entered the election.
Well, I mean, when you enter the...
Exactly.
It's unwritten rules, so to speak. We understand.
No. I'm not complaining, David, but I look back all of this with a sense of humor and laughter, you know?
Well, it's good that we could laugh about it, but I do remember, you make my pause raise when we talk about that, because I did remember, and I'm thinking to myself, wow. You know, I'm really sitting down in a position here behind the greats, you know, that would have passed through. And I thank you very much. As the Americans, the same, we thank you for your service. I do thank you for what you have done to building the morning show here on 106.5. Yes, indeed so. So no stranger to the station, and thank you so much. We will chat again in the not too distant future. Have yourself a good afternoon. A good morning. Bye bye. All right. Thank
you. The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.